Walking Dead Season 7, Episode 4, Service is over, but we are just getting started here on The Walking Dead Live, here on post-show recaps, and now here are the two guys who make podcasting about The Walking Dead easy peasy, lemon squeezy. I'm Rob Sestrino. Here is Alex Kidwell filling in for Josh Wigler, who's on assignment. Alex!
Woo! Yeah! Time to talk some Walking Dead with you, which is exciting. I'm really looking forward to this. Let's get into it.
Yes, okay. Alex Kidwell is here with me. Trust me that I'm not seeing your picture right now, but that I can hear you, and hopefully we'll get that all straightened out, or Negan will be pissed and come here and be very upset with us. But we are taking your questions live, hashtag PS Recaps, as we go through Walking Dead, supersized Walking Dead tonight, Alex.
Yeah, how about that? A 90-minute episode? Did it feel like 90 minutes to you, Rob? Did it drag, or was it kind of quick?
Did feel like it was dragging a bit towards the end. Like, I was pretty into it. I saw a lot of people on Twitter, like, saying that it was a pretty boring episode, but I was with it for a while. I think they had me longer than a lot of viewers, but I did wonder, as we got towards, like, the last 20 minutes or so, like, I did feel like that probably the Spencer and Rosita stuff, I think, felt like the fattest stuff to me in the episode.
Yeah, I could see that. It feels like stuff that needs to happen, given where we're at. Like, we needed this education session for all the people that didn't get to see Lucille up close the last time. You knew this was coming. It just, we had to get through the meat of it. And, like, I feel like this is one of those episodes that people weren't necessarily going to be looking forward to, but it was always going to kind of play out this way to some degree, maybe.
Yeah, and we definitely got a different Rick Grimes than we've been seeing over the last couple of seasons. I mean, certainly that was really brought to the forefront when they find Deanna's camera. My camera, you found it, Negan. There's no freaky deaky stuff on there. Don't worry. But we did get to see, like, in the viewfinder, like, literally, like, you're not the same guy you used to be, which I thought was interesting. And I thought, I like this, that Rick decided to just surrender to Negan. Acceptance.
Yes, although, you know, they do zoom in on the hand a couple times, gripping the bat rather tight. So you can see that even though Rick is, you know, on board, so to speak, and he's making other people get on board, so to speak, he's still having these pangs. And to be fair, Negan's testing him. He's pushing every button he can find. But Rick is still clenching the bat a little tight at times. There was that moment where it looked like he might actually step up and take a swing. And not advised. You got like 25 guys with AKs right behind you. That's not going to end well.
Yeah. Also, while we're here at the top of the show, as we're just getting the ball rolling in the recap tonight, I do want to apologize that we did not get to the Walking Dead feedback this week. Turned out to be a crazy week, Alex.
Yeah, pretty crazy week. Not easy street.
It wasn't easy street. Yeah.
It wasn't just a treat. It was not so sweet.
Yeah.
Not neat.
Yes. That just turned out to be a much crazier week, and just getting caught up with all of the election coverage. I just did not expect that to be as time consuming of a week as it ultimately turned out to be. And I will completely own that. My bad. We did not get to your feedback this week. We will get to it this week. So again, I apologize about that. Hopefully there's not too many Negans that are out there that will be really upset about that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't mind, Rob, but Lucille here.
Yeah.
I mean, she just was not a fan of the lack of a feedback show. So
it was fine by me, but Lucille, she needs a feedback podcast. Let me tell you.
I gotta say, I do like that he plays good cop, bad cop with an inanimate object. Like, that is fun for me. I'm enjoying that element of it.
Yeah, are you still in on the Negan? I know I saw on Twitter there were some people, it seems like that the Negan approval ratings are sort of like, are we going from love to love or love to hate? Or hate to love?
I get it. I mean, he's a really horrible dude in a lot of ways. he, you know, I think we've probably seen worse villains, you know, certainly people capable of more horrific things, maybe you could argue, but this guy is, he's not a good fella and he's not bringing out, you know, positive vibes in anyone here. It's very easy to see why people are getting frustrated with the way it drags out and the way he just, it's not just that he keeps you down, Rob. It's that he likes to, you know, poke you with a stick while he's kicking you.
Baseball bat. Yeah. No, I am still in on Negan. I think that he is pretty fun. I mean, he really is chewing the scenery in a lot of these scenes. Like, he's somewhere in between the governor, Jim Carrey in The Mask, the genie in Aladdin. Like, he's just really all over the place in terms of, like, just like, but he's jolly. He is jovial, but he is like almost like at some point, like, oh, somebody stop me. Oh, like, he's like really into it. So I appreciate that he likes his work as much as he does.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, he's definitely theatrical. I think that's one thing that we're learning in the zombie apocalypse is that if you want to, you know, get people to follow you and make, you know, make yourself some kind of a leader, I think theatricality is your friend. I know, you know, back in the day, people talked about how, like, Blackbeard used to put, like, candle wicks in his beard to, like, make it smoke. It was like early magic tricks to, like, scare people. And I feel like it's almost that thing. We got Ezekiel doing the tiger thing, and we've got Negan with his, you know, grand gestures and his bat and making people kneel and stuff. Like, what Rick needs a thing.
Create compelling spectacles. Yeah, that's
Rick
really
needs
what
some
you
kind
to
of
do.
Thing. I don't know if he needs to get his hatchet back and, like, create some kind of, like, cult around the hatchet, but he needs a thing.
Yeah. So you're right. I think when he had the beard, I think he had a thing. He had sort of, like, you know,
wild man.
Yeah. Hipster wild man happening. And then Negan is right. I think once he shaved the beard, that was it.
Yeah. That guy was capable of tearing Claymore Joe's throat out. What are you capable of?
Yeah. Negan said I wouldn't have messed with that guy.
Yeah. Now he's wearing a shirt like yours, Rob. He's not not the same guy.
No. No, that Rick Grimes should be doing everything in his power to be as different from me as possible. But Rick, of course, that he goes through everything in his power to try to give in to Negan, to try to accept this new regime, which is taken over. And then we ultimately find out when he talks to Michonne, a little bit of a bombshell he drops on us that he believes little ass kicker Judith, not so little ass kicker anymore, who suddenly has for the first time is about, like, what, 2 years old?
Yeah, getting big, certainly.
Bit of, so I think we switched babies, but also we find
off
out
the Gerber clan.
Rick is completely 100% dealing with the fact that he is not the father.
Yeah. I don't know how we found that out. I mean, I think it was always speculated and the timeline seemed to correlate to this theory, but, you know, we certainly didn't have any paternity testing going on. So this was something fans had talked about, and I think it kind of died out. You know, once Shane dies, it's like Lori dies. It's like, well, who even cares anymore? But the fact that not only this, you know, seems to confirm that, but that Rick has resigned himself to this idea and has all along, like, oh, wow. Like, when you think about how these people are running through the woods with this baby and it was crying and attracting monsters, like, oh, he knew even then. Like, I guess that just speaks to, you know, good guy Rick. Like, he doesn't care. The baby is a symbol of the future, even if it's not his baby per se.
Yeah. I mean, technically, he is the baby's stepfather if he is not the biological father. So be pretty heartless move for him to turn his back on Judith, but he's just sort of
have a douche. I mean, you know, he always said it's like trying to, you know, grab onto an anchor when you're drowning in the middle of the ocean, Rob. So
yeah,
easier said than done.
Yeah. So for Rick, that he does share that information with Michonne, but it's interesting that Rick is the one who has really come to terms with, okay, this is just what life is like now under the Negan regime. But it's really the other people of Alexandria, and specifically the women of Alexandria, seem to be putting up the most resistance to going along with the Negan plan.
Yeah, well, it's not a good plan if you're a woman, I don't think. Here come all these like big sweaty guys, and they look like they don't spend a lot of time with women, and probably before the apocalypse didn't spend a lot of time with women. And these aren't the kind of guys that you want to hang around. These are like the construction workers that are making catcalls all the time. And now you're forced to sit there and reply to all their horrible comments. Like, I wouldn't want to be there either.
Yeah.
So I can sympathize.
There was one woman on Team Negan tonight. Arit was the woman who very quickly deduced what was going on with Olivia in the gun inventory. What do you think of Arit?
Yeah, how about that, right? So Negan has like a female lieutenant in his employ, which, yeah, that kind of surprised me. Although we have gotten hints in the past from Negan that he may be a villain and he may be a monster, but he really implies that like he is very... You know, if you're going to fault him for things, maybe sexism isn't the first one, because he does seem to give people choices. He was very adamant that Dwight can only, be with one of his wives if they say yes. So, you know, maybe, you know, equal opportunity employment is one of the few pros in his column.
Yeah, I will have to say, I don't know if there's necessarily a glass ceiling in terms of the Negan Corporation, because we certainly saw last season that there was that whole episode about a number of women lieutenants that worked under Negan, the episode where Carol and Maggie were captured. I forget the name of the woman with the red hair, who was really, you know, taking orders from Negan. And then we have Arit. So who knows? Who knows? It seems like there are many more men in the Negan operation, but it doesn't seem to be anything holding back women from holding high positions of authority under the Negan regime.
Yeah. Yeah, which is it's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic for someone that is clearly on the way far bad end of the moral compass. So he does seem to have a code. We know he has a set of rules. That's how he introduced himself to us. There are rules, and it seems like they apply across the board. And that's a big part, I think, of why his people can stay in line, and why, you know, Rick, even when he was in charge, he had, you know, guys like Spencer squirreling away food. That Negan is not a half measure kind of a guy. Like, if Spencer was worried about, you know, catching a bat to the head or an iron to the face, I don't know if he takes that bottle of liquor.
Well, let's talk through Spencer since you brought him up. So Spencer and Rosita went out on the errand. Dwight really seems to have a good hate into Rosita. Is there a backstory there?
Well, he was the one who captured Rosita, Daryl, Glenn, and Michonne. So, I mean, I know there was a little bit of something there. I don't think it really became anything, but also like Dwight, I feel like this is a little bit of like the syndrome of like, like the playground. You get like the big kid picks on a kid, and then for that kid to feel better about himself, he's got to go find a smaller kid to pick on. I feel like that's what's going on here. Mm-hmm. Negan picks on Dwight, and Mr. Steal Your Girl takes his wife, and now Dwight is left single and sad, and he's looking to pick on someone else. And here's Daryl and his buddy Rosita, and now Daryl's his pledge, and he has to do whatever he says. And Rosita is just like an easy target for Dwight, who's just looking to be a big man, I think, in this moment.
Does Dwight think that Rosita is Daryl's girlfriend?
I don't know. But they were together then when they're all kneeling down. She is kind of like right there next to Daryl. So maybe it's not a terrible assumption.
But Dwight had a curious move when he took Rosita's canteen, took it from her, dumped all the water on the ground, and then still took the canteen. I feel like at the point, if you're just going to take her canteen, no need to waste the water, Dwight.
Yeah, well, he was really just, I mean, like you talk about chewing on the scenery. He was really making a meal of the moment. It don't take too long.
Yeah. But why did they let them leave? Why did they let them go? That they felt like that there was some sort of like fruitful quest that they were going to be on. I mean, it seems like an error in judgment to let people leave while Negan is sort of got everybody on lockdown.
Well, I think that's the idea of the Negan operation. They want you to go out, and they want you to be, you know, just desperate enough that you're looking for all kinds of things and maybe even finding new groups and persecuting them to do it. I think Negan wants to keep you fed enough to be alive, but hungry enough to be desperate. And that's kind of like this balance that he's trying to find with all these people he controls. And I think that kind of speaks to this. So like, they're going to let you make runs. They're just going to, you know, take away your guns. They're going to make sure that if you find something, you're going to be in real trouble if you have to deal with any kind of problem. So they're kind of going to hamstring you and tell you to walk, basically.
Were you rooting for Spencer to get killed tonight?
You know, never cared. I could have gone either way.
Never cared. Yeah. I kind of wanted, I was hoping Rick would do it at the point where he stepped up to Rick at the end of the episode.
Yeah, well, I certainly thought he was going to get a beatdown. I thought, oh, that's the moment. But, you know, then again, out of respect for Deanna and what's his name? Bob, or, you know, the husband that died so long ago. Yes. I can't even remember his name anymore.
Yes.
Yeah, poor Spencer and the brother. Like, he's gone through a lot, this kid. So, yeah, I mean, I wouldn't even fault him really stealing the bottle of whiskey. Mm-hmm. I think the food is more egregious. And then, yeah, I mean, the guns.
Isn't this the second time he's had to be reprimanded for this?
Yeah, maybe. But if anything, I think that speaks to Negan's point about, like, maybe Olivia shouldn't be in charge of the stores. She clearly isn't keeping a good eye on this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I felt like that Negan's point was that that she shouldn't be allowed to be in charge of the food because she's overweight. I thought that was Negan's point.
Well, that was the first point. But then once the guns were missing, it was basically like any error equals a sign that you're not fit for duty.
Yeah, maybe she's not good at her job.
Yeah, she's not paying attention to the right things. She's missing out on the inventory. How long were those guns gone without her doing an inventory check, though?
Seemingly a long time. Didn't seem like it happened yesterday.
Just a question. No, it didn't happen yesterday.
Natrone in the chat says that Reg was Spencer's dad's name.
Reg built the fence. That's right.
Yeah.
Reg.
All right. Also, we got to catch up with Father Gabriel tonight, and Father Gabriel, Negan pointed out of, boy, this guy's got a creepy grin. yeah, he's got like a, Negan has a little bit of like the Taylor Stalker thing going on too, I think a little bit. But
yeah, I like that he just popped in there. It's like, would you care to pay your respects? Whoa!
Whoa!
You are creepy as hell, man.
So... He says that he's looking for Maggie. Father Gabriel came up with a plan to say that Maggie is dead. Now, we see in the previews for next week that it looks like that Maggie is at the hilltop. Boy, this seems like a terrible plan.
Ooh, yeah, well, they're going to have to figure out something here. Yeah, that's rough. They know Negan knows about the hilltop, but... Yeah, I mean, right. Negan clearly doesn't know she was pregnant. I mean, I feel like that should have been mentioned at some point. Like, I know you don't want to piss the guy off. You don't want to say the wrong thing, but I feel like he might change his tune if you're like, yeah, she was going to die. She's having a baby. So we like sent her to the only gynecologist in the known world. Is that okay? We hope that would be okay. Like,
it seems as though that Negan does have some sort of an attraction to the widow, though. That seemed like that he had like some sort of like ulterior motive of that he wants to go after a woman whose husband has just died because he feels like either she's especially vulnerable or has some other, you know, terrible plan for her that she has just been recently widowed.
Yeah, what's he doing with all these widows?
Yes, I don't know.
Well, building a collection of some kind.
He's collecting them that I believe that, you know, his exact line was that, you know, we don't need to quote the exact line because it was not good. It was not good.
Don't need to go
it
to
was
Negan's
followed
trailer.
By my DirecTV captioning laughs suggestively.
Seriously?
Yes, they do.
Oh, man. They I always regret not watching with closed captioning. And this is just another just nugget of gold as to why I missed out tonight.
But did Rick know about this plan? I mean, it seems like Father Gabriel sort of came up with this on his own.
Yeah, right. It's interesting. Like, what's the timeline of events? Because certainly you'd think Rick and Maggie both went straight back to Alexandria after the loose ceiling of it all. So wouldn't Rick know? You would think Rick would know. Or maybe they just, you know, sent her right. But then Rick would know either way. Yeah, I'm very confused by this. But you're right. He did seem to, or maybe he knew that Maggie was at the hilltop. He was about to say something. And then what he was surprised by was Gabriel's decision to have a backup plan in the graves. Maybe that's what happened. So Rick knows she's at the hilltop. Maybe he's about to say, like, we sent her to the hilltop. She was pregnant. And Gabriel's instead like, would you like to see her? And he's like, oh, I got it. Okay.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that Rick would ream out Father Gabriel if that Rick's whole thing now is that, like, just do whatever Negan says, give Negan whatever he wants? Like, wouldn't you think he'd pull Gabriel aside and be like, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is like, he's going to kill. He's going to kill somebody when he finds out. Like, this is the dumbest plan ever. She's at Hilltop. He goes there all the time.
Well, it doesn't seem like a well thought out plan, but I don't know if he goes there all the time. He allocates all this work. So, you know, if Negan knows what her face like is, it looks like, and Negan is thinking like, oh, if I were to see that girl in passing, that would be interesting. But if he thinks she's dead and he's not like telling anyone to go find her or anything, then, you know, it looks like on the next time on, not to get into that too much, but I forget his name of the show. But I always think of him as Trevor from Grand Theft Auto, because that's his face and voice is used for that video game character. But Negan's a right-hand man there, seems to be the one who's leading the brigade over to the Hilltop. So if Negan doesn't show up and it's all, you know, grunt work, then maybe she's in the clear.
Alex, how pumped up are you next week that it looks like potentially, based on the previews, this could be the Hilltop standalone episode that you've been waiting for?
Well, I am excited to see my boy Jesus again. It's been far too long since we got an episode of Jesus, but I don't know. I'd be surprised if it's a standalone. I feel like there's going to be some. I feel like at the end of the next time, we did get like Enid's trying to leave again. I think I saw that. So we'll at least get some Alexandria, even if it's only like Enid's like, I got to go for the sixth time.
It looked like from the preview. No, don't go. Yeah. What, Hilltop plus Carl and Enid story.
Yeah. Riveting. Yeah. Question mark.
Yeah. We'll JSS. We'll get through it. But Father Gabriel, he just had this like real like poop eating grin on his face the whole episode.
Yeah, how about that, man? Real blue sky Gabriel right now.
Who is this guy?
It's the darkest the show is, arguably. Well, people are eating people in Terminus, but it's arguably as dark a timeline as we've seen our characters facing. Like, this is looking like a grim scenario with no easy way out anytime in the near future. Like, at least the Terminus, you were like, if they could just get out of that train car, they could make a break for it. But here, there is no making a break for it. Negan is everywhere. They are all Negan. So what do you do? And yeah, so that's really the quandary here is like, there doesn't seem to be a quick fix to this solution any time in sight. And I think probably the fan base is having trouble grappling with that almost as much as a lot of the Alexandrians at the no longer safe Alexandria zone, I think we can now call it.
Here's my thing with like, oh my God, we have to attack Negan, you know, all these people in Alexandria that are like, okay, well, the only move to make here right now is to go to war with Negan. Just like, let's play this out for 6 months of what's the worst that could happen? I mean, isn't there a really good chance that Negan walking around whistling, somebody somewhere is just going to off this guy? I mean, isn't there isn't he tremendously exposed and has a lot of enemies out there? Isn't there a really good chance that Negan is just going to come to an untimely end somehow?
Well, you would certainly think so, but it doesn't seem to have happened so far. But, you know, it seems like Negan has been here and been set up for a long time. We don't know how long, because Rick and everybody have just gotten up from Georgia, really, you know, in the last year. So he could have established himself for a while. But either way, you know, it seems like there's a lack of knowledge of the dynamic. And I think that's a big factor that's going to keep Rick from wanting to move anytime in the near future. They acted and they're paying for it now. They acted too quick when they went after that one silo. And then they find out that silo is just like the tip of the iceberg. And now it's, you know, they really need to do their homework and have a lot more information before they would ever try anything again. Not to speak of the fact that, you know, Rick, I think, I don't know if he's mentally capable of trying something right now. I think we saw like when Negan picks up that giant, that whatever it is, that Corinthian bazooka column. Yeah. And smashes in that, it was just a bazooka.
The candlestick.
Yeah, giant candlestick. Yeah, it felt like Rick had the tight grip on the bat. And when that happens, like his grip just loosens. And I feel like that was like a, he had like the, you know, the 1,000-yard stare again. He got that flashback. Like anytime Negan brings something down on a head right now, I think it is going to mess with Rick's mind. And that does speak to that. He's not ready to lead this charge, even if they did have the numbers.
Right. He's got to get himself right. What do you think needs to happen for Rick to ultimately take on Negan and his crew? And do you think that that's ultimately what it will look like, where we end up with some sort of like a surge from Rick and his group?
I would think so. I mean, I think the fact that Negan keeps saying, I've said it before, Rick, you're special. Like, I like that element. There is something to this. Like, Negan recognizes Rick right away and recognize, like, you know, this guy with the beard, I would not have messed with him. Like, there's some interesting stuff there that makes you think that if Rick were able to, you know, figure out something or get one step ahead somehow on these people that are clearly 10 steps ahead to this point, maybe something could happen. But what will that entail? I don't know. I think I like your idea, though. Like, wait this out a little bit. Do what you can. Scrounge. See if you can't find something really cool, like some kind of, I don't know, like fancy ottoman, something that like placates them for a little bit. I don't know what it would be. But then, like, just, you know, see what else is out there. Like, try to, you know, I think the answer is, like he said, we don't have the numbers. The answer is probably in the social game. Like, do they know about the kingdom? I don't know that they do. But if they were to discover those guys, you know, those are more numbers they don't know about. Are there other people being persecuted by Negan, other groups out there, other factions? You know, like one drop in the well is nothing. But, you know, you start the waterfall and pretty soon I think that's the only way to take down a despot like this. We see it, you know, all the time in all kinds of history.
Yeah. But bide your time, connect with the other groups that are out there, and then make a move on Negan.
I think that's what he's got to do.
I mean, because, that's what Rick kept saying. We don't have the numbers. We can't do this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Rob. I mean, numbers are important.
Yeah.
In the game of Survivor, in the game of life. Yeah. I mean, it's the social game is very, very critical. And right now, even if people don't like Negan, the Machiavellian thing, I mean, he's got their fear. And as a result, he's got their respect. And sometimes that's more valuable.
Okay, let's talk about Daryl Reek Dixon and see what's going on with him. That from the end of last week's episode to now, do you feel like that there was a missing part of this story? I felt like last week's show ended up with Daryl sort of like saying, I'll never be broken. Like, basically he says to Dwight at the end of the episode, like, I totally understand why you gave in to him. Why, you know, but this week, all of a sudden, Daryl is just like a shell of himself.
Yeah. I mean, I have to think that if not, like heavy conditioning that we missed, we definitely missed a scene at least where Dwight said, you know, you're on the silent treatment for like 24. Like, this is like, again, this is like hazing. Right? You're not allowed to speak for 24 hours. And if you do, we're going to kill someone you care about. Like, you know, something like that, I'm sure was said to him. They gave him something ahead of time that really incentivized him to not talk. I mean, this is a head game for them. That's the whole reason Daryl's there in the first place. That's the whole reason they even have Daryl. I mean, besides the fact that Negan maybe sees him as a potential soldier down the road, this idea that, like, if Rick ever steps out of line, I can make Rick cut off his finger or something. It seems to really be something he's into. He likes that idea of, you know, forcing you to punish your own guy, I think. So that's going to keep being something that comes into play until Daryl can either get away or some kind of thing changes with the dynamic. Maybe Dwight has some change of heart. I mean, I think we saw, like, Dwight. Certainly Negan is apt to, you know, make Dwight metaphorically fillet him as often as Rick, it would seem. So
easy,
how often
that
can this continue?
Don't go full bloom. In terms of Daryl, though, he didn't seem like that Daryl was going along with pretending just to, like, do the Carol thing where he acts like, okay, Negan, sure. Like, Negan was like, hey, Daryl, your life is going to be so cool if you just be a part of my team. And Daryl was like, no. So I don't understand, like, at what point did Daryl start pretending he's on board with the Negan plan?
Yeah, well, maybe, I mean, you know, one of the last things we did see is Dwight's wife telling her, like, whatever they say, just do it. And maybe he took some time to contemplate that and think about, like, oh, right, you know, remember, you know, and also he's got to stare at that stupid Glenn picture all day. That's all they give him.
Listen to that song over and over again.
So the more you think about it, the more you're like, you know, like, Daryl's the kind of guy that doesn't care about what happens to him so much. But you start to think about, like, what could they do to people I care about just because I won't just say what they want me to say. And it starts to look like a pretty dumb choice to hold on to pride in that moment. I think right now with Negan, you know, having as much power as he does, the most dangerous thing in the world isn't zombies or anything. It's pride. You just can't have any right now. There's no room for it.
No room for it. So then let's talk a little bit about Michonne and what she's planning. She goes out into the woods and is working on target practice with the sniper rifle. Is that the Sasha issued sniper rifle?
If it is, then, you know, someone needs to get the aim adjusted or something, because Sasha was doing some serious work with that thing in a way Michonne is.
Yeah. So she's trying to take shots at a walker. She's missing. She finally comes down and just takes one out with her katana sword. And then we see later on that she ends up killing an innocent deer. Alex, was the Walking Dead metaphor machine at work here tonight?
Certainly, but I also thought of the reverse Otis, where somebody went out to shoot a deer and ended up hitting Carl.
Sure.
This reminded me of that, where I was just like, oh, it's good that Carl wasn't walking in the woods, because that kid is a magnet for stray bullets.
He is. He is. Lucky he didn't catch one tonight.
Yeah, they were certainly flying. And Michonne is not someone I would want to be around if she's shooting. I had no idea she was such a terrible shot.
She's not good. That's why she uses a sword. But do you think that there was a metaphor there with the innocent deer being killed? And if so, what is the message?
The loss of innocence, Rob.
Loss of innocence. Is that what it is?
The Alexandria safe zone has to like spray paint over the word safe.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole look at the sign where it said like vengeance to plunderers. Well, the plunderers are getting their vengeance right now, and it doesn't taste good.
Not good. Not good. And so Michonne is the one that was really pushing the envelope, really wants Rick to ultimately go for vengeance against Negan. Do you think that Michonne is on board with what Rick wants to do, or is now she going to be just like secretly, you know, conspiring behind his back?
I don't think she'll go behind Rick's back, but I think that what she represents is important, because Rick, I think, is at a place right now where he could find himself complacent. He could fall into this place where he's, you know, breaking his back every week to get Negan what he wants. And as long as no one is dying, he's going to continue on with that way of living. I think Rick is the kind of guy that is not going to look to upset the apple cart if things are working well enough. And I think the value of Michonne not being ready to accept that as living is that she's going to be the catalyst that eventually, maybe not anytime too soon, but eventually pushes Rick to realize that what he has to do, what he ultimately has to do, is kind of what we talk about anytime we podcast about Survivor or Big Brother, Rob. I mean, he's got to be this, you know, this iron fist in the velvet glove, like you and Steven like to talk about. I mean, he's got to say and do all the right things to Negan's face. And then as soon as those guys leave, he's got to be like sending out a messenger to the hilltop and sending out messengers to wherever else and starting to like organize some kind of resistance movement. I mean, that's the only way out here, I think.
I mean, yeah, be smart and not just be like a crazy person and like going nuts on Negan.
Make Carl stop doing that stuff, that pointing a gun at the Dwayne or whatever his name is.
Yeah, like, Carl, I mean, how many times do we have to do this with Carl where he is going to act like a badass and then just like get smacked down?
It is weird, though, because like he's a tough kid and yeah, it is dumb. But Negan seems to have like a weird respect for him to me because of it. And I feel like it was the same thing with Daryl, where it's like Daryl does a dumb thing. And he stands up and just rocks Negan right in the face. And you would think like that would be the kind of thing where like Negan's like, well, I can't have people see that. Maybe I should just execute this guy. But no, he respects and admires like the sand in the face of certain adversity. I think like there's something that he likes about seeing someone who's tough, even in the face of complete, like when all logic contradicts it. He seems to have some kind of respect for that. So it'll be interesting to see. Like, I wonder if Negan would ever actually hurt Carl, because Carl now in a couple instances has demonstrated that this is a kid that is not scared. Like, he's a very unorthodox kid. And I feel like he might be the kind of person Negan's intrigued by the same way he is by Daryl.
I got to say also, Carl Grimes's hair is really on fleek. Really
out of control.
It's really, really on point. I mean, just like conditioned perfectly. I mean, that kid, I know it's the zombie apocalypse, but he's got great looking hair right now.
Yeah, no tangles, no split ends.
No tangles, not greasy. It is absolutely, you know, not a hair out of place.
Yeah, it has that like perfect it starts to cover his eye patch in a nice little way. He's growing that out.
My wife would kill for hair like Carl Grimes. Amazing.
Yeah, that's really good. I think even Enid is probably jealous.
She's got to be jealous. She's got to be jealous. So then I want to talk about Rosita a little bit in terms of, okay, so she got this gun from the guys who ended up killing Denise. Now, how did those guys all fall victim to a walker attack?
I'm trying to remember. Were those guys shot in that moment? Like, were those some of the guys that ended up, didn't something happen with those guys? Didn't they put some guys down in that moment? I can't
so
even remember.
Remember. So hard to remember. We did this podcast right after the episode.
I mean, they were still at the same. Yeah, they were still at the same location. So I feel like, you know, there was certainly an attack because Eugene got a big chomp in. Mm-hmm. Everyone remembers that. So, yeah, I feel like they got a few shots in. A few guys went down. Maybe one of them bit another one. You know, some things happened. There was some guys hanging out there. And nice use of tree, by the way, with Rosie. Got to give it up to her for that. She didn't make a lot of great decisions, I felt like, this episode. Mm-hmm. But she really demonstrated how you can use a tree to take down six or seven at once.
She did a good job.
Very smart, these things. Just outthink them.
Yeah.
Well played.
And stupid Spencer really does not seem to know that it's not a good idea to yell like, "Hey, Rosita, what's going on?
Would you see any zombies down there?"
Yeah. Hey. Don't do that, Spencer. Spencer's the worst. I can't wait for him to die. My new least favorite guy, Spencer Douche.
Oh, poor Spencer.
Official.
Yeah, he's just, every time you think he's going to turn a new leaf, it ends up darker than the last one.
No. So at the end of the episode, Rosita goes and knocks on Eugene's door and say, "Hey, Eugene, make me a bullet for this thing."
Uh-oh. Yep. That's I think Rick would not approve of this, but we do know that Eugene has been studying the recipe for bullets. And, he seems to have a crush on Rosita. So Rosita's asking, I feel like he's about to get in the kitchen and start cooking up some bullets.
Chekhov's bullet recipe.
Yeah, right.
It's happening.
Yeah, and it's a good thing Eugene survived to this point because they may need him in the near future.
Yeah. All right. They need Eugene to ultimately make this recipe for a bullet that may or may not have Negan's name on it. anything else on this episode before we talk some questions?
I guess not. Let's see what we get into with the questions.
Okay. Hashtag PS recaps. And if you want to just jump in also with some questions as you see them as they come up, this is one from Derek who says, "Rob talked about how he would handle Negan. What would Alex do if Negan showed up at his door?"
Yeah. I think I touched on what the play is. I think you have to say and do all the right things, and then you have to, pick your spots very carefully and try to subvert. I mean, try to find a secret, middle ground meeting place between you and the Hilltop that's like an undisclosed abandoned house. I mean, that you can drop message, just a message drop point. Like, you can't risk stuff, but you've got to. I mean, I watched this show that's also an AMC, Rob, now they're called Turn Washington Spies. And it's set in like the colonial times, and similar thing where it's like the British have like complete occupying forces everywhere, and all the Americans can do, like, they don't have the resources. So they're just kind of like here and there dropping notes for each other, trying to beat them by staying one step ahead and having more information. Negan clearly seems to have spies in everywhere because he knew where Rick's group was moving to. Get some spies of your own out there if you can, maybe. See if you can't plant some people and figure out exactly what Negan's movements are, where he goes from week to week, what his schedule and his drops look like, and maybe you can begin to piece together a weak point.
Okay, so your plan is if there's an occupying force, you need secret meetup places.
Yeah, you need a spy ring. Get that spy ring going. Yeah, right. This is good information.
Places. Yeah. That's a good note. Okay. Then Katie Beth Austin wants to know, is Spencer a ginger?
Oh, I don't think so. Hair is too dark.
Yeah.
Might have some freckle action going. But...
Yeah, Negan talked about maybe he needs to kill a ginger.
Right. Well, I feel like that was
Abraham,
just...
Abraham, as an Abraham callback.
Yeah, that was like a little bit of a too soon type of dig. That's Negan finding another one of Rick's buttons to push. I think that's just, it did twist the knife a little bit. That's the Negan special there, I think, at this point.
All right. Katie Beth Austin wants to know, I think Negan just said to Gabriel a few things we've been wanting to say for a while. Yeah, Dalton Ross also tweeted about this. Did you get more on board Team Negan when he said Father Gabriel had a creepy smile?
Well, I found that really funny, but I don't know if it changed my perspective on the characters. Like, I'm enjoying Negan as a villain because I do think, even if he's cheesy and corny and just over the top at times, like, that is part of the character. Like, he is a larger than life persona who's managed to get people to buy into every aspect of it. And now he's just like sitting high on the hog. He can walk around like this because he walks around like this because he can, because living like this for so long has enabled him to just operate with complete impunity and just say whatever and do whatever he wants. So you do get ridiculous stuff from him because that is kind of the nature of this character's persona. But yeah, Father Gabriel, I always was a Father Gabriel apologist, Rob. You may or may not know this, but
I didn't know this.
Yeah, but he's someone that I definitely think has he's grown. He should have grown on people who weren't even apologists in my eyes, because this level of optimism, certainly unfounded and unwarranted and unrealistic, perhaps, but necessary. Somebody's got to be the optimist in there. And it may as well be the guy half the people think is insane already.
Yeah. Negan's also like walking around, I feel like, trying to make a lot of catchphrases happening also. Do you get that?
Little pig,
yeah.
Let me in.
Yeah. Oh, have a mercy. What you talking about, Willis? He's really just trying to make something happen.
There's the beef. Yeah, right. All right, Negan. Yeah. Making t-shirts back there at the compound? Or
Yeah. Did I do that? Yeah. All right. This is from Katie Beth also wants to know, did anyone think to have Olivia on their death draft?
I don't know. She's probably too minor to qualify, I think, unfortunately. The only time we really see Olivia is when someone's taken something from the storage, or I guess that one time when Carol taught her how to hold a pistol.
Yeah. Yeah, she's good. I feel like that maybe she could be like the new Denise.
Yeah, but she doesn't have Denise's medical skills. So yeah. It's unfortunate. Like, Denise really served a practical purpose. Like, it's unfortunate. Why couldn't Olivia be the one who got, like, wild ants in her pants and wanted to go out on a run? Denise is too valuable.
Yeah. I know that Lisa Solemn is still waiting for Where Is Tara for that question to be answered.
I see that. Yeah, right. I don't know if we're ever going to find out. I think maybe Tara's just going to, like, appear on another show.
Yeah.
It'll just be the hit. Tara and Heath went off on a run and were never heard from again.
Yeah, she's going to be back. And she'll be back one day, I think so.
Man, she's got a lot to catch up on, does Tara?
Yeah, boy, this is going to be...
My buddy Glenn is gone. My buddy Abraham's gone. My whole world has changed. Let's see.
Well, speaking of Glenn being gone, a scammer wrote on Twitter, did you guys miss Glenn this episode? I didn't think twice about him. Were you saying that this Walking Dead episode was not the same at Alexandria without Glenn?
Well, here's the thing with Glenn, right? Like, I feel like Glenn was always very much an optimist in the group. And sometimes the show gets really dark and really heavy, and it's at that point right now. And I think that, you know, you're missing Glenn in that point, in that, from that standpoint.
I thought, like, that's what you have Father Gabriel for.
Well, he's trying to fill the void, Rob, but it's a big gap to fill. He can only do so much as a guy who's not universally beloved the way Glenn was. So I think it's tough, but ultimately it's a dark time. And that's what taking Glenn off the board does. Like, it makes everyone feel like, oh, Alexandria is so sad now, because, yeah, you've removed someone who always saw a little bit of the positive side, no matter what the situation was.
Yeah.
The world is a darker place for it.
Glenn more when we get the Maggie Hilltop episode next week.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. But it'll also be interesting to say, I mean, yeah, we don't even know, like, did Glenn and Maggie's baby survive all this trauma? I mean, like, what's the deal with that? I mean, to me, that's like the biggest thing we're going to learn surely next week, is that, you know, in the midst of all of this, if there's a baby, then at least, you know, Judith has someone to play with.
I guess so. But that is
Negan
very
demand one of the babies. He takes half of everything.
Yeah. Well, he's like King Solomon.
Oh, no.
Do you think that we're going to get a scene next week where we're going to have Maggie, like, connected to the ultrasound machine, and the doctor is just going to be like, oh, everything looks okay. You're a lucky lady. You got, yep. I don't know what, it must've just been gas. Everything's fine.
I feel like it's going to be one of these things where it's like almost like season one, episode one. We're going to start, like, Maggie's going to wake up in a bed and she's not going to know. And then they're going to come in and be like, you know, tell her what happened. Because, yeah, I mean, she seemed close to fainting.
I mean,
out there.
I mean, she was like that. She couldn't even walk.
Yeah.
They were carrying her on a stretcher.
Yeah. So, I mean, clearly she didn't. This was not a natural birth.
So you think that the baby, you think she lost the baby?
I don't know if The Walking Dead would go there. They might. But no, I don't think she did. I feel like you don't take Glenn off the board and take the baby off the board right away.
So this baby is in a amniotic sack of plot armor, is what you're saying.
He's in the Hilltop incubator and nothing can touch him.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, I still have to talk to my wife about this. That my wife is a medical professional. And I still want to ask her about this. I'll show her that episode and ask her that. What does she think? That could she diagnose what's going on here with Maggie?
Yeah, and I wonder if we'll see next week if you know how Maggie gets there, or if, like I said, she'll just kind of like wake up in a bed. My bed is the latter.
Yeah, who took her?
Jesus's Uber service.
I guess so. So Emily has a question. She wants to know, what item slash possession would you be pissed to see Negan or the Saviors take from your home?
It's a good question. I feel like if you had something that nobody else in Alexandria had, right? Like if you're the only one with a blender, or like, I don't know.
Oh, take that blender.
I mean, they have
working, it up.
They have like, you know, they have working generators and stuff. Like, yeah, I mean, I feel like there's probably some good stuff in there. And Negan was clearly impressed. So somebody definitely lost something sweet. That chair was not the best thing in their hall.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, like, yeah, maybe like a Foreman. Oh, that's practical.
A George Foreman grill.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, once you got all of those pigs from the kingdom. Then...
Yeah. I'm just going back and thinking, like, what was really important to me as a freshman in college? Like,
Yeah. Yeah. Good questions. I mean, they have like working showers and everything, although it seems like that Negan's got a pretty decent setup at his place.
Got to imagine he's got all that stuff. He's had enough people bringing him half of whatever they have for long enough that at some point he would have been like, build me a shower then, if you know.
Whatever happens, don't let Negan get to the sorghum. Protect the sorghum.
Yeah.
No matter Spencer.
Luckily,
hide
I don't know if it's...
Hide it
I don't
in the vent.
They've had time to plant, but I don't know if it's been a time to reap yet. So I feel like Negan is going to be there come harvest day. Ready with his bale.
Yeah. How come they don't take Michonne's sword?
It's a good question. You know, I guess Negan is not, he's got Lucille. What does he need the sword for? He's not the governor. He's not Mr. Steal Your Weapon. He's Mr. Steal Your Girl.
I mean, so. He did steal all the weapons.
Well, he steals all the guns. He steals the weapons that could potentially, you know, pose a threat to him at some point.
Oh, you mean like Michonne a ninja sword?
What's Michonne going to run down the street with like Mel Gibson Braveheart face paint on, like run down that highway that Dwight was on? And they're just going to like line up on a wall and mow it down. There's no options there.
I mean, they're taking every little handgun. Shouldn't take a ninja sword also?
Rob, you can't, you know, this comes back to the question of like, you know, gun control in this country, I think.
Yes.
Like,
what is the Second Amendment in Alexandria
right now?
Where's the
last mass murder with a knife you heard of, Rob?
Oh, okay. So you're saying that there should not be any sort of background checks for ninja swords.
Well, I'm just saying you can do a lot more damage a lot more quickly with a gun.
Did
than you
see
with a ninja
Michonne
sword.
With the gun, Alex?
In theory.
What happened? What happened when you gave Michonne a gun?
Yeah, well, Negan doesn't know she's going to be the one holding the rifle. I mean, if it was Sasha, everyone's in trouble because that girl.
Where was Sasha this week? Was she off?
You know, I bet that's who took Maggie to the hilltop.
Maybe she's at the hilltop next week. You know what? I think
she
was
in the process of elimination.
She was in the preview, I think, actually, now that you mentioned it. Let's see.
Look at Sasha. She's lost everybody. She's still trucking on. Like, I feel like once she got over that Tyrese hump and the Bob, like that was a double whammy, losing the brother and the boyfriend there. Like, she's probably dealt with the most adversity, maybe. I feel like she's the least likely to break going forward, for my money.
He's good. All right, let's do one or two more questions. This is also from a scammer. What's up with Enid's obsession with the balloons? Well, the Walking Dead story sync did remind me that Glenn and her did tie up the green balloons. That was part of their mission when they were outside the walls. Is there anything else with Enid and her attachment to the balloons?
No, I think you hit it. I think it was like in memento, 99 green balloons for my buddy Glenn.
Yeah. Okay. Any other
in the summer sky?
Any other questions that you've got? Miriam wants to know: do all emo millennials rock the same mop top?
I feel like it's getting that way. I don't know if it was always that way, but increasingly.
Yes.
But, you know. It's a mixed bag. I think you see also the shaved sides with the kind of the pompadour Pauly Calafiore. You're seeing that a lot these days as well.
That's happening.
Yeah, that is a thing.
Yeah. All right. Well, good stuff all the way around. A lot of fun tonight talking about this 90-minute Walking Dead. And I know not everybody was feeling the 90 minutes, Alex. Did you feel like that this could have been tightened up?
Possibly. Yeah. I mean, I think we talked on a little bit of the pre-show, like maybe you could tighten up some of that Rosita and Spencer stuff, you know, some of that maybe, you know, didn't need to go out. We didn't need Ring Around the Rosie with the zombies. But then again, we have to fill a zombie killing quota, maybe to a degree. So, yeah, I mean, dicey. I'm always happy to watch more Walking Dead, though. It doesn't really bother me too much.
Yeah. OK, well, we will get into your feedback this week. We promise. Go to postshowrecaps.com/voicemail or email your questions in twd@postshowrecaps.com. You can also use the feedback page on postshowrecaps.com. And of course, you can hear the feedback show when you subscribe to the podcast. Go to postshowrecaps.com/TWD iTunes. All right. Alex, do you have a hashtag for this week's show?
Oh, man, I did. I feel like we could go Jesus's Uber service.
Okay. The Jesus Uber service.
Okay. Yeah.
Jesus, take the wheel and let me sit in the back seat and text.
Yeah, sounds good. And you'll be in the back with Maggie.
That'll be perfect. I got to talk Maggie through, you know, pain management.
Yeah, somebody needs to, because she's been having to deal with this without, you know, epidural or anything entirely too long. It's not cool.
Not cool. Not cool. All right, so great stuff. You could follow Alex on Twitter. He is at Alex Kidwell. Josh is going to be back with us for the feedback show. He'll also have continuing coverage of the Westworld. And Alex, you're on top of the Westworld?
Yeah, really enjoying Westworld. It's very interesting. I thought it would be interesting, but it's definitely, there's levels to it that I still can't quite get my head around. So that's fun for me.
Wow. I watched the first episode with my wife. It was a big mistake because now she wants to wait for her to watch more episodes. But I think I'm just going to watch them and then just fake it the next time I watch it with her.
That's my move, too. It's a slow build, too. So it's one of those where with more episodes out, you definitely want to watch more. Get to episode 4 or 5, starts to pick up.
Ho, ho. Did you watch this show without me? I mean, I don't care. It's not a big deal to me. But Lucille, she gets really pissed when you binge watch a show without me.
And that actor I really like, by the way, who's Negan's right-hand man, who I keep calling Trevor because I can't remember his real name in the show, is also in Westworld as a creepy guy who drinks a lot of milk in the premiere.
Oh, cool. Good stuff.
Fun fact.
Good stuff. All right, everybody. Also, also on postshowrecaps.com, I just recapped this week's Saturday Night Live hosted by Dave Chappelle with Rich Sackenberg, plus also the latest edition of our Seinfeld recap podcast, all on postshowrecaps.com. Have a good one, everybody. Take care. Bye.